And we're back. This is Jim Santel, Morning Cannolis here at WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. Also taking your calls this hour and next as well as we continue our discussion this morning of voting, Voting Rights Act in America. Right before the break, we were chatting about some of the specific provisions of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, this major piece of historic legislation passed by the United States Congress, still applicable to every state in the union, every jurisdiction, although with some very, very significant carve-outs, if you will, by the United States Supreme Court, which we're going to be chatting about principally in our second hour this morning, cases called Shelby County and Brnovich. But right before the break, we were chatting about the principal enacting provisions of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, again, in the wake of the 15th Amendment, ensuring voting, ensuring the franchise to every American, regardless of race and national origin and color, and all sorts of other immutable characteristics that would not prohibit anyone from voting under the law, under the Constitution itself. Sections 4 and 5 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 also establish a mechanism for addressing those jurisdictions that have had a history, a provable, demonstrable history of engaging in exactly what the 15th Amendment prohibits and exactly what the Voting Rights Act also prohibits, that is discrimination principally against black voters in America. And so sections 4 and 5 basically say that if we identify a jurisdiction that has had a history of engaging in discrimination based on race or color or language, we're going to identify specifically that particular jurisdiction, and there are many of them. They're identified by specific name, could be an entire state, could be a county, could be a city, and we're going to place them on a list, quite literally, and requiring that those states, those counties, and municipalities obtain prior approval, consent by the United States Department of Justice before you enact any change of existing voting rules or laws. Let me say that again because it's very significant. We identify jurisdictions that have had a history of engaging in voting violations, restrictions of voting capacities by people of color, race, national origin, language, and requires that before those places change their laws, presumably to make those restrictions even stronger, you have to get authorization from the U.S. Department of Justice. It's called the preclearance or coverage aspect of the sections 4 and 5 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. That review takes place by the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice. And so, as initially established, Section 4B establishes a coverage formula, trying to figure out which jurisdictions fall onto this list, if you will, of places where there has been a history of discrimination, and falls into two kind of categories. A jurisdiction would be covered under Section 4B if, as of November 64, 68, or 72, as the Congress continues to re-up the Voting Rights Act, the jurisdiction used any one of these tests or devices to restrict or in any way limit the opportunity of people of any color, but certainly people of color, to vote, to register, to have access to the franchise. So if there's a test or a device of some kind, a polling tax, a literacy test, a property test, anything like that that prohibits one by something that is extra to voting capacities, that will get you on the list. And if less than half of that jurisdiction's citizens were registered to vote as of these dates in 64 and 68 or 72, less than half of the eligible voters voted in the presidential election of 64 or 68 or 72, basically identifying those jurisdictions that either have tests or hurdles or burdens to voting, or places where you have extraordinarily low registrations to vote, places where half of the eligible voters did in fact vote in a previous election, that will get you on the list. And Congress in 1965, and again in the future reenactments, the restatements of the Voting Rights Act, re-ups these provisions and says, if in fact you fall into those categories of being an historically discriminatory jurisdiction, before you can change your laws again, we're going to monitor what you do. We're going to make certain that any future laws that are imposed in your jurisdiction pass muster after. And before you do any of that, whether you're a state legislature, a county, even a municipality, you've got to call the U.S. Department of Justice, the Civil Rights Division, and get authorization to do that change, to make that change under the law. Section 4 is the coverage formula. Section 5 requires that these jurisdictions get this, what's called this pre-clearance, this clearance provision before implementing any changes in their elections laws, again, as a way of implementing the 15th Amendment to the United States Constitution, of ensuring that the basic structures, the basic purposes of the Voting Rights Act are implemented and observed throughout the United States of America. So again, you've got Section 2, that is this general prohibition on establishing any mechanisms that would implement prohibitions and hurdles to voting. And then this very special, very unique, a creative way of looking back in time and saying, if historically you have engaged in discriminatory practices, before you do anything to change your laws, but before you do anything to change the ways in which you do voting in your area, you've got to get authorization. And in the wake of the Voting Rights Act of 1965, in fact, there was legislation that follows up to implement that, to re-up that, we know, during the course of the years that followed. During the time before the Supreme Court enacts some major cases here, the legislature does, in fact, re-up the Voting Rights Act on many different occasions, and significantly in a way that was going to make our second hour incredibly relevant to our discussion. On at least 4, if not 5 different times, the United States Supreme Court reaffirms the legitimacy of Sections 2 and 4 and 5 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and says, you know, all these things that the Congress is doing, they are constitutional. They're okay. Nothing contrary to the Constitution under Section 2 that makes these general prohibitions applicable to all jurisdictions, and Sections 4 and 5 that once again impose these obligations on these historically discriminatory jurisdictions. The fact that they've got to call in, they've got to get prior approval, this pre-clearance from the Department of Justice. The United States Supreme Court, on at least 4, if not 5 different situations during the years that followed, affirmed specifically the capacity of the Congress to pass the Voting Rights Act, to pass the reenactments of it. I'll give you the names of some of those cases in case you want to take a look at them. South Carolina versus Katzenbach in 1966, a year after the Voting Rights Act. Supreme Court comes out and says, nope, no problem whatsoever with these provisions. Those are constitutional. And in fact, in the years that follow, in 1976, a case called Beer versus United States. 1986, a case called Thornburg versus Jingles, G-I-N-G-L-E-S. 1996, a case called Bush versus Vera. And in 2006, a case called League of Citizens versus Perry. 2006, the United States Supreme Court specifically taking a look at various challenges to the Voting Rights Act, and in particular, Sections 4 and 5, Sections 2, these implementing provisions, says they are okay. They are okay to go ahead. Nothing wrong with the implementation. And indeed, during the course of this period of time, a piece of legislation, the Voting Rights Act, sometimes called one of the most far-reaching and effective pieces of civil rights legislation in United States history, is affirmed and is in fact enforced by the United States Department of Justice through its capacity to bring civil lawsuits in America, especially through this pre-clearance process to ensure that any place in these jurisdictions, and by the way, they're not all just in the South. Many of them are in Texas and Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, but there are jurisdictions that are covered because of their historical discriminatory practices throughout the country, some in California, some in the East Coast, some in Virginia, North Carolina, some in South Dakota, for example. Could be a city, could be a county, could be a state. Places throughout the United States of America that, again, have to get clearance before the changes that they make in their legislation can, in fact, be implemented and enacted by their legislatures. What happens? What happens in the wake of that history that follows 1965 until 2013, a long period of time in which the Voting Rights Act is, in fact, maybe not perfectly, certainly not perfectly, accomplishing access to voting rights in America. What happens? Well, in two important cases, 2013 and again just last year in 2021, major cases of the United States Supreme Court for the first time in our history since 1965, contrary to, rolling back in many ways, that whole series of cases that I just described, the entire litany of cases by the United States Supreme Court in two cases called Shelby County versus Eric Holder, and again in another case called Brnovich, Mark Brnovich versus Democratic National Committee in July of 2021. The United States Supreme Court weighs in and says, you know what, there are problems here. We're going to turn this back. We're going to revisit some of the things we've said before, and we're going to find that there are certain provisions of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that are unconstitutional, or with respect to Section 2, are simply going to make it a whole lot more difficult to enforce those provisions. We're going to talk more about exactly what the Supreme Court did in 2013 and again just last year at this very time in our second hour this morning on the Morning Cannolis here on WAUK Radio, the Shaw and Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. Come back, engage in our discussion of voting rights in America.